It is now 7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of Blue Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-chair Simon.
Here.
Co-chair Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Haley. Commissioner Lennon. Commissioner Mezzatesta.
Here.
Commissioner Beasy. Student Commissioner Steerwall. Student Commissioner Avalos.
Here.
We have four voting members present. We do have a quorum. So first item of business is public comment. So I put leaf blower ordinance discussion agenda on towards the front of the item. I'm assuming all of you gentlemen are here to comment on that. You know, this was discussed briefly last year, raised a couple meetings ago, and then the discussion of last month's meeting was to try to put together a preliminary draft ordinance modeling closely to Oak Park's ordinance with the same effective date. And then obviously Oak Park already has an existing seasonal ordinance and some other items that were not necessary. So I did share the preliminary draft with everyone. I did send it to all of the contractors licensed in the village and invited them to come out tonight. Also created an online survey. So I know we've gotten, I believe, 16 responses on there so far. And then just for all of your awareness, there will be no vote on this item tonight. We are still collecting the input, and it will be further discussed at our July meeting. But if you would like to come up, I just ask that you identify yourself at the podium, make sure the microphone is on, and then, yeah. It was 59 or 60. It was right in that range. So, yeah, I would say somewhere right in there. I don't remember the exact number.
About 100 responses.
Yeah, why don't you, if do you want to speak first? Do you, or you want to speak? Okay. I mean, what type, am I on here? What type of data are you asking for?
Purpose of the whole.
The main purpose is environmental, but
what's the data behind the environmental? Identify savings or what the that type of.
Yeah, we looked at this extensively when we considered this last year, and so we can go back and pull that out. But I mean, there are, I don't remember the exact statistics, but there I remember comparisons to like 30 minutes of the gas flow or something. 1,000 miles driven into the world and things like that. We're also affected by the health of the workers actually operating these, the emitted into their faces and vicinity. And although it's not really the purview of this commission, there's also been a lot of complaints coming from residents about the noise associated with the gas.
Could I ask that you come to the microphone? Yeah.
I mean, we can talk, we would love to hear from you. You know, the purpose of this is for us. We love to hear.
Push the button.
So my name is Larry Raymond. I am not a contractor. I live at 939 Park Avenue. I've lived in River Forest for over 30 years. I'm probably one of the only people in my income bracket that does their own yard work, cutting the grass, blowing the leaves, etc. And I'm perplexed why this group feels that they have to make some decisions for the general community when there hasn't been any data circulated. And I have a pretty strong view as to what local government should be doing in government in total. I mean, I think the government should take care of national security and defend the borders, enforce civil law, and maintain and establish public works. And what I mean by public works, things like roadways, education, utilities. But I think this committee should think about market forces and how decisions are made in a capitalistic system where government should stay out of those decisions and let individuals make their own decisions with the information that they can obtain to make the most rational decision. And with regard to public works, I think any decisions that are made in that regard, you need to prove, number one, that private enterprise can't take care of the initiative you're trying to sponsor. And two, that decisions that are made in the best interest of the general community and not for one specific group at the expense of another group. And so I haven't seen any data that would support what you're trying to propose. And so I'm vehemently against it. I think it's government overreach, egregious government overreach. And my personal view is you should rescind the proposal and not even take it to the village board. If anybody has any questions on the committee,
I can just kind of resolve that for David. I want to kind of take a step back. So first of all, we haven't yet voted on this, right? So no decisions have been made. This is a, diverse, but this is a diverse actual commission. And historically, we made pretty rational decisions on things. The way we function is that the Board of Trustees asks us to look into things. Because even though we can vote for things, we can't. You know, all we can do is vote to agree on something and then the Board of Trustees then takes up or doesn't take up. And we've been asked to look into this. So we were asked, like Susan said, a year ago, we were asked to look into this. We did a bunch of research, but then there wasn't an interest in talking about it further. So we it's recently come on. Frankly, I've been wrong. Recently, we were asked to look into this. And that's why comments on viewers are actually really important. The result of people voted at the commission in July, based on kind of the conversations we're having in the community, feedback we got online, research that we're looking at. Oak Park passed this, as you know, so we kind of, looked at a lot of the data they were looking at as well. Can we share, is there a mechanism for sharing like the data we're looking at with the community? I don't know if that works.
I mean, I can get stuff up on the village webpage. So I had created a just news alert on this item. Should be linked on the village homepage or at least in the recent news page. And I can continue to update that with new information, additional information. So yeah, I can definitely update that. For the initial one, I had just put a notice of this public hearing, a link to the contractor survey and a copy of the preliminary post text, proposed text.
So where do you draw the line? I mean, you have blowers, you have lawn mowers, out east they're banning gas stoves. In California, they want to ban combustion engines by 2030. And it's hard for me to understand, for you to just say we don't want gas blowers, but all these other items are. So I view it as kind of a liberal point of view and the government trying to have more control in our lives than I think we need.
In the interest of time, there's a 5-minute limit on public comments. Thank you. We'd like to hear from you.
Thank you.
And then if we could just get your name when you start.
My name is Robert Mann of Mann's Landscaping. My father ran Mann's Landscaping for 40 years prior to I took over 6 years ago. Urban Forest has been a great community for us to work in. But passing this law with the limited data that you have, I just wonder if you're like really putting into perspective of the cost of going forward with this. On your website, it said you wanted to pass this law starting next year, June, I believe.
Yes, that was the preliminary draft proposal to be in line with when Oak Parks is set to take effect.
But when you put that into it, there's also the cost of collecting all that equipment. Put that in perspective, I run 5 backpack floors. All right, to replace those 5 backpack floors, I'm going to have to spend $2,500 on each blower. Each of those blowers need a fuel pack. They come with 2 fuel, but they run on 2 batteries. Those 2 batteries can only run for 45 minutes to compete comparably with what my current gas power blowers can do. 45 minutes, that means I need a backup set that are charged. That costs me an additional $600. Now, we all know how many leaves River Forest has. They're like 45 minutes on these larger properties isn't going to get you very far at max time. So I'm going to have another backup set. That'll give me another 45 minutes. How many backup sets am I going to need to get one property done before I have to go home? Also, these batteries, you could get, you know, portable chargers that can be linked up to your vehicle, which drains your battery, drains your alternator, you know, more maintenance. But it takes 4.5 hours for those batteries that you just used to cool down. It's not like you're going to really be able to use them again. So now your service has just got tremendously longer. That's going to go back to your residents that are already giving tax extremely high, that are already paying so much for everything that's going on. So it's costing the contractors, it's going to be pushed back on to the residents. And then when we go into the noise, you mentioned the noise as well. So these backpack battery operated are running at about 56 to 59 decibels. Our backpack floors are running at about 76. So it's only 20 decibels. When we got guys on Harleys and just speedster cars going down Division blasting, but you're going to come after the working class landscaper who's providing service to the community over 20 decibels. I just think that there's a lot more data, a lot more thought that needs to go into this before you guys push it through and then just the service going through the roof or seeing a lot of small mom and pop operations like myself have to close down, which, you know, there's always that big push, you know, shop local, you know. So I don't want you guys to just follow what Old Park did because they passed it, because they're already seeing. They're already seeing landscapers pull out, and they're also seeing the charges that are coming their way. And that's all I really have to say.
Can I ask you a question? Do you operate in Little Park as well?
I do operate in Little Park, but I currently operate with the handheld gas blower that they're still on to use right now.
I'm so.
Yeah. And then. Yeah. One, it's raised my prices. People are going to be like, no, we're not going to pay that. And the only other option they're going to have is hire someone that's got the new license, much like we have to be here at River Forest, and hope that they don't get caught and get fined. And then does the homeowner get fined when that happens as well? Because they're knowingly hiring someone that's not licensed. So, yeah, that's the way I look at it.
So, the second question, would the longer lead in make it to have more conversions?
It would make a difference to acquire the equipment, but it wouldn't make a difference in the efficiency of the equipment. Much like what happened with Hertz when they bought all those Teslas that they're now selling because the maintenance to keep them going, the technology hasn't caught up with what our gas combustion engines can do. When it does catch up, let's do it. When it could run for 8 hours at max power during these falls, you know, that we have with all these leaves, yeah, sure, let's move forward with it, but it hasn't caught up there yet.
Thank you.
You know, individual homeowners could hire people. All they want is them to use the batteries. They could hire those people to do the work with the batteries and pay the additional charge. Yeah, that's another option. You always have that option where the homeowner can make the decision, not the government, but a group that the community.
Sure. That's like you can hire a landscaper that uses organic fertilizers.
Does anyone else have to speak?
Hi, my name is Victor. I'm with BW Landscaping. And for the same reason, years back, Evanston passed that law. And that was one of the reasons which I was like, I'm done.
What do you mean?
Evanston.
Oh, yes.
Evanston's got that for 3 years. Problem with the blowers, garage works well. Let's put it this way. Last week, I made that police report. I got 2 blowers stolen and 2 trimmers. Imagine to replace them. Right now, it's only it's 600 each. Steel blower, for example, is like 25 and 500 each. If they will grab that, it really hurt us. So not only a problem, biggest problem, just like Rob said, biggest problem is the backpack blowers, the electric blowers are not efficient enough. That's the biggest problem. We cannot keep up with the batteries. I'm all for it. If they will have battery, which is going to work for 8 hours, I'll buy everything back. Problem is, it doesn't work. I do have an electric blower for my own house, which I use. It's convenient for 15 minutes. Not for us, which we are carrying this thing for probably, 6 hours we use, and with the fall, even more. So, and weed whackers are the same thing. They're, next one is going to be weed whacker. We will be banned for using it, or you tell me. So, I mean, I as an example with a business, I quit for that reason, Evanston. And with spamming to Oak Park, I do operate in Oak Park as well. 30% minimum is going to be charged, the price is going to go up. Because our cost is so high. The battery and the blower itself is not that expensive. It's what, $1,500? Blower is like $1,500. But the battery, that's the biggest cost. And the problem with the battery is, they can operate only for 45 minutes. With a full blast. They didn't caught up yet with the bat. That's the biggest problem. So, I mean, if they will have it, I'm all for it. For homeowners, it's a great machine. For out of the business, they don't have it yet. So, that's all.
Thank you.
We, for homeowners, I need both things. The gas blower, battery power blower, and behind you, there's no difference. The gas power to block has 4 CFMs. It's much more efficient and you can do the job a lot quicker.
Would anybody else like to speak? You're all kind of
there's only one other item I want to bring.
Sure.
All right.
I have another question for you.
And it's just about the safety of the batteries with charging. So they're already. They're not ready for it. And how many times have you seen your landscapers out there trying to get piles of leaves, rain coming down on top of them, and they're just working away with it? These machines will fail or they will explode if they get wet. One of my customers, he lives in River Forest, not to give the address, he actually had a Toro residential blower that he was charging in his garage that spontaneously combusted. Luckily, he had concrete walls all around, so it didn't get damaged on the house. But it became a big issue with this insurance and Toro because they were saying, well, he obviously was charging it incorrectly. It's supposed to be in a climate control area. He has an attached garage house, concrete walls, brick house. It's underneath an oak tree. Yes, it did happen in the summer, but I mean, it wasn't like in a 120 degree storage shed back proper. Put that in perspective with our, I mean, does anyone here have a air conditioned enclosed trailer? So our enclosed trailers, like on a 95 degree day, are probably around 120 degrees. Right, have a charging station with these batteries, and that whole thing's going to go up. And we all have heard how difficult it is to put out a lithium ion fire. New York alone, 31 fires from e-bikes this year. You can look up on Washington Post; they have it all up there. So that's the safety issue. It's another thing I wanted to bring up.
So I just want to also ask you to so a lot of your comments are focusing on these, which are, very much a fall event. If this ban were to be commercial, that's the current one out there. We do have the same objections to it.
We have the same objection with the, it's even more so than with the noise issue, because a lot of landscapers tone down. They're not going at full max with their backpack blowers, so the decibel levels are lower. So then that kind of argument dissipates, but the safety still stands. We're storing these battery operated blowers in a trailer that could reach up to 125 degrees. Does it, like, once again, if the technology gets there, using it during summer, shower, there's so many angles to look at it. It's like now you're operating in a summer shower, did you just fail? And also, if these pieces of equipment get wet, it's not covered under warranty. I think the contractors get a 3-year warranty on most of their equipment. Homeowners, I think, get 6, but if it's damaged by water, it's not covered. And so much like Big said, when his equipment got stolen, you know, that's fine. He's able, it's not fine. He has to pay for it. But if a $2,600 piece of equipment, that really could hurt a smaller company.
I guess my final question is that the parking shed at Oak Park has managed to convert completely, not just the blowers and more able to it. And just wondering how the control of these arguments, how they were able to do that.
How the village is able to pass this?
No,
I can't speak for them. I don't know when that first was proposed. They had put in much like what you guys had, where fire department, police, and forestry can still continue to use gas power. So I think the forestry was included that as well. If that's a hurt.
Find out how many the River Forest community have, how many gas flows they have, and what the cost of replacement. And also the data, when you look at the cost, you got to look at the all-in cost. You got minerals for these batteries. You have the plastic that goes into it. I mean, there's a lot into the cost of these things. There's a lot of the data that I've looked at, we don't capture. They reference what you reference, you know, that you drive 300 miles, that's the same CO2.
Okay.
What about the lawnmowers? Has that been discussed?
We have lawnmowers.
Can you give us some color on what's the difference between a lawnmower and a blower?
We need to look at the blowers right now. Especially, you know, they just had a product that, you know, is similar. I don't know. We even have to look at leaf blowers.
Including cars?
Leaf blowers.
No, I know that. But you said you would envision looking at.
I don't think this is like I get what you're trying to do, but I don't think that's what we understand.
So, like, cut down trees. Those chainsaws blow. More than our backpacks. And they're use their backpacks. We're the only ones with that. So, guys, back companies, they can use backpacks more than anything. So, again, the
only thing. Well, I think the notion is to start somewhere in order to reduce the pollution, which is one of the causes of climate change. Now, I would be very curious. I think some good questions have been raised here, okay? And I would be interested in talking to somebody from Oak Park. Is it the park district that?
So I think first, with you raised other, you know, streets contractors, you know, public right-of-way construction contractors, this is something that the Public Works Department has discussed, that were this ordinance to pass, it would also be required in the contracts for any sort of public works, whether it's street repaving, sidewalk replacement, those sorts of things would also be, could not use gas-powered leaf blowers. So that has been something discussed if such an ordinance were to be adopted, just to that point. So with Oak Park, there are, I think, so two different things. The village of Oak Park is who had adopted the ordinance. Completely separate from that, the Oak Park Park District has already electrified their equipment.
And I would be interested. Well, it would be interesting to talk to someone from there to find out how they've addressed some of the physical, technical issues that you raise, like using it in the rain and the length of the batteries and so on.
I think we have to wrap up this section, but we really appreciate you all. Yeah,
one question.
The session is recorded, so I'm sure people can just stay in your school.
My name is David Begum. I'm probably the youngest landscape owner here. 27. I'm Majestic Gardens. Right at the beginning, you mentioned that you had proof that it was unsafe for the operator of the leaf blower. And I was just kind of curious where you got that. Because if you use the backpack leaf blower, you know that the exhaust is on the back facing outwards. And as business owners, we tell our employees to use Sirian eye protection. So, I mean, the exhaust is facing away from you when you're going this way, and you got the hearing protection in. I mean, do they test on people that just, you know, have an exhaust running right to their face? Or?
Yeah, and that was one of many things that came up, you know, this
years. Yeah, I'm just loving it. And yeah, they wasn't through. Someone that just kind of assumed probably things just cloud over you as you fall on
the leaves. So there's actually, you know, if you Google this, there's actually a bunch of public health studies on two-stroke. No matter where it's exhausting, right, like how it affects their.
Just for what it's worth for your employees, they'll know that walker a lot. I very rarely see anybody with your protection on or eye protection. Eye protection with those guys wearing eye protection. Ear protection is unless it's their pods that they have. Most of them don't even have the eye stuff on.
It's hard to wear ear protection because when you're on the floor and you're on the street or something like that, and the tire comes by, you can't hear people. Right? I don't know. The people around this neighborhood don't even care about the people. Like, they just go around this or they just go through it. And I'm going to say, we tell all of our crews, I believe it's 40 years, we say, hey guys, you want to wear it? It's there. You don't want to wear it? But when you whistle, you say, get out of the street, okay, here comes the car. And he can't hear you because he's got earplugs in your car. Okay, you can't get it. So I just, a lot of things. We should sit down as a group. If you want more landscapers, we'll bring them. I don't want to start he said, she said, or anything like that. I was on the township for 17 years. I don't like picking up there. That's not me. So, you know, you guys, so I'd like to see if we can work something out.
Well, I think there should be a productive exchange. And I think if people who work more closely with this machinery could give us indications of how we could move this in a more sustainable direction, short of the answer like this, you know, I don't know if there's a difference between the two strokes and other types of gas blowers, but the type of information that you can give us on, you know, how to make this all. Because what we're trying to do is just move in a certain direction. We're not experts in this area, so
sure.
So maybe we have to come up with the best way of doing that, and maybe hopping on our overlooks back. in order for us to move in that direction. If there's any feedback, it doesn't have to be given tonight, but if you have a set or something else, that would be greatly appreciated, because we need to show progress different areas. That's what we have been, that's our mandate of what to do, whether or not. Once definition of work, and we should do that. That's our mandate. So I would say any information you can give back to us, also in terms of, times of the year, something that will work for you. Maybe it was too much of a jump to go from nothing to there. So we would appreciate all of that information.
And I would just add, I believe I emailed all of you. You have my email address. I did include a link to the survey for all the contractors, so you can email me directly if you'd like. If you'd prefer to remain anonymous, you can fill out the survey and just leave all of your thoughts in the comment box, up to you. But I will review that, and then this commission will review all of those comments at the July meeting.
Okay, so we're going to be at the July meeting, and then when you're going to advance something to the board, when would that get advanced?
Yeah. If it were voted on at the July meeting, then it would not go to the board until their August meeting. So that would be the soonest time for it. Yep.
But more you can give to us, the more we can help practicing in the right direction for it.
Thank you very much. Taking the time.
Yeah, do we want to move on to meeting minutes, or do we want to have any discussion on this, or we can do meeting minutes first, then circle back? Or...
We might want to follow up.
Okay.
Yeah, quickly.
What do people think?
I think we should definitely not move forward with this at the moment. That's just me. But I feel like if you look at this with like four boxes to check, yes, it's environmentally friendly, but it's not safe. It's not efficient. It's not cost efficient either. So it's like we got one of the four boxes done. And it's felt like it's where we want to be right now.
If they were to find initiatives like the federal government that would roll out, I feel like then we could come back with this plan. It would probably last. That would be beneficial. Then the battery topic, because a lot of batteries, that's what I think.
I think that we don't want to be doing this in a vacuum. And if Evanston, now Oak Park may not be far enough in front of us, there isn't enough data there, perhaps. But I think we ought to find out with somebody else, whether Evanston or if there's other places that have been doing this for a period of time and the effect that it's had. I never thought about batteries in the rain, but that's, I think they raised several very good points. Now, one gentleman, his issue is government overreach. And,
which basically we're taking a little bit.
Yeah, and respectfully, I understand that point of view. I agree with it. But I think the rest of the people make good points. And if people are going to stop doing business places where this is going on, it's going to go on many more places. When does the technology, as they pointed out, catch up with? Yeah.
It's got to be important.
Well, and maybe you do have to break some eggs to make an omelet.
Most of the more eggs out there.
But I, you know, if somebody's a couple of years ahead of us, I'd like to know. Well, I think that would be valuable input.
But do you recall, did you hear from any of the more, like these seem to be the smaller company, did you hear from putting out on some of the LPs?
So the day or the day before the day that I did send this out, I was at a C4 meeting that Scott McAdam, correct, was at. That's not the right one. Bill McAdams.
Well, there's Scott and there's Ron. Scott
Jr. McAdam Landscaping was present at this meeting. He had, I think, echoed a lot of the same concerns that these individuals raise, particularly with the power of the batteries, the cost of the batteries, the recharging issues. And this was over in Bellwood, I believe. It was a broader C4 discussion, but he was happened to be the only landscape contractor there. I think a lot of the discussion, I was there from River Forest. I believe there was one representative from Oak Park there, but it was more focused on the Proviso communities, a lot of representation from the various park districts throughout Proviso Township. Green landscape technology generally. And so cost was, again, a huge concern raised, what it looked like to the residents of the various communities. So it was doing a poor job explaining all the input there, but from his perspective, he basically indicated that he was one of the few that could probably bear the cost. And in the survey so far, I've gotten one response in the question said, do you anticipate significant cost or ability to do it? Like there was one that basically said that they would probably be able to easily make the change, whereas the other 15 respondents thus far had said it would be difficult for them. So I would venture to say that was him or one of the bigger contractors.
I'd like to reach out to Chris Lundgren from the Digital because he's in the business just to take the time to check the veracity of what they're saying about the these issues and see if they have found that. I think they've been doing this for 1 or 2 years. I mean, I guess one thing that I can see from the other park district is if it rains, they could just say, we're not going to, I mean, this is a business, they've got work. But they could say, like, okay, it's raining.
Yeah,
we'll pull this tomorrow. So, they have charge. No, they actually have a charging vehicle.
Yeah. It's probably an expense that a small company couldn't. Well, I also wonder, I don't know if there's an easy way to take such a survey, but what's the appetite on the part of their customers to pay more for something that's better for the earth? I mean, this is all very nice, but there's a lot of people who also I'd like to know.
So this was actually a question I wanted to raise to you all. I had sent out this survey specifically for contractors, 3 quick yes, no questions, and then a just open comment is what this is. I did get one email from an individual who's a resident and had gone in, and I could see that one person skipped all of the yes, no questions, and then filled out the survey saying that they were a resident and in support of the ban. And so this, yeah, it was a separate individual. He had then sent me an email saying, I realized it was a contractor survey. Are you going to be putting out a public one? With this, it's kind of become self-selective. So it would, whereas it's, this is actively pushed out to everyone working in this field, in this community, because we have all of their contact information. This is really those who are more motivated to fill it out would be filling out the survey. It would essentially be a virtual public comment more than a scientific survey by any means. But I wanted to get all of your thoughts on things like that about the potential increased cost of should we develop a survey and, promote it on village website, social media, et cetera. So just want to get all of your input on that.
Yeah, I would say that would be a good idea. I mean, I think I thought their feedback was really helpful, and to the point in terms of helping us
steer us in the right direction, but in a, there are external impacts of the leaf blowers on the lands or any other outstanding neighbor in terms of like particular pollution. And the noise, obviously, and those are real. So I think that we sort of, I don't think we're trying to drastically change overnight the way every house is maintaining here. But I don't think, we, like, in 30 years, I can't imagine everyone ever using gas leaf blowers. But 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, I think we need to do what we can to make it.
Well, and if you think about electric cars, just as an analogy, the start would be you had to spend $85,000. And my brother had one of the early Teslas, and his batteries didn't last long at all. His wife now has one that they bought recently, and, you know, it's much better. So the technology evolves, and I guess I would be interested to know if there's any movement in the technology of lawn care.
Well, batteries, you know, batteries are bringing out, or put them on battery, they're all the same. It doesn't matter if you're buying a EV or a leaf blower. First, they follow the same thing. And there's a lot of work going on with technology, but a big push in silent state.
Yes, billions of dollars.
Yeah, so you're going to see huge leaps. And just the cost of things are going to come down, and
exactly.
The size and
exactly.
That's on the near, early near term horizon. So that will happen. My own opinion is that we're probably ready to expose. My job, you know, I think they'll, okay, you like to run your crap, but your neighbor maybe doesn't appreciate you going that much. So you got to look beyond just your own little world there. Maybe you can put it to the general population. I don't know how we would capture dollar and cents other than maybe grabbing a couple of these people, like, you know, the bigger ones, and just having them, you know, run some estimates what they think it would take, or if we've got some. Little park or whatever, some, even some of our own people maybe have done some, you know, to see, okay, this is what it's going to cost, and what that would mean in terms of charges to the residents, but then also here's what the benefit of it would be to just get people's opinions. I think that's a good thing to do. But that's going to slow this thing down a little bit, and some of it we probably should. I don't know how we would do it, but, you know, this to me seems like an opportunity for willing for them, all these people to try on a little work. Seriously, how do you help us? How do you maybe form a little subcommittee on, you know, how much thoughts, green landscaping or something like that, that help us, guide us on, you know, how to move the needle for them, this kind of thing, to get some feedback from them on some basis to help lay the agenda. Types of things versus, you know, and sometimes just poking with the needle over get some of the stuff going. So maybe by reaching out to some lazy stuff is kind of whatever, pull together a little stuff or provide explicit feedback. What they see is this end horizon. For us, we probably don't know much today other than what we do. But they can at least start to have that in the back of their minds and start to lay it out. So we think by this time, we may.
But I think it has to be understood that we're heading in this direction. It's not a matter of whether we're going to do it or we're not going to do it. Yeah, we're going to do it, but how do we get there?
So there's a lot of different things we can say we're going to do it, or we're going to do it one at a time. That still doesn't address all the issues that they said regarding the battery. So that's why I'd like to reach out to somebody who's more informed in this area and see if there's any exaggeration. And then I guess the other thought going through my head, I don't think this is at all possible. But if there was a way for us to access like a wholesale kind of thing where they could, you know, actually get these through the village, do you have any sense of that? I mean, like, what the quantities would be involved to.
Program so they could replace their equipment.
Well,
so, yeah,
going for
I mean, these are maybe the answer, but that's not addressing all of your issues, but at least from the cost issue. So I know we got a lot, but just, and then I would just throw, I mean, I think we should just, or other, we're going to decide this today, but one other thing we should think about is that maybe we should move more in the direction of what we're talking about first. And we should have times of the year to say, like, you know, one of their conversations were on the fall. So say, like, okay, you can use these in the fall, but there's no reason, you know, today that you need to ask for to get, you know, to get the grass clippings off the sidewalk.
Just one thing, just two real quick things. Just more to have verbal context of the thing. So one is, you don't all have to agree on things, right? So, in fact, it's a we don't. So when we get around to voting on something, right, don't feel like we should all be aligned on what the high is already above. But we don't need to, you know, agree necessarily. So we've been very successful in making progress without there's no exceptions to this, right? The styrofoam ban, right? Like all these things that could add cost, we've structured in ways that have not been a burden at all. And I think, like, maybe we're not always going to be able to like, you know, walk that line, but when we should try to, right? So we can have our dignity to make progress and make sure there's no financial burden on our residents and our businesses. Like, it's a home run. And I think that's going to be part of our success. It's not always possible.
So just so I have everything, so I'll start to develop a public survey, get a cost from homeowners, A, if they use a contractor for their landscaping work, if they would be willing to pay a higher cost for greener landscape use, I think is probably the best way to word that question. If they own a gas-powered leaf blower themselves, and then an open public comment. I think those, can anybody think of any other questions?
I don't even think of them. Well, probably we'll know this, but let's think about this. Yeah. I mean, if anybody does anyway, they want to be more information. Let's hold out on that because I mean, I think a lot of the points that they brought up are not going to be addressed. Let's hold on until we have. And then, several items
with data were raised on that. Should I post data onto the web page that exists for this? I know we probably had some data before. I know I had specifically put in the decibel and noise pollution data in the first memo we had when we raised this a couple months ago or last month.
Again, why don't we hold off on that because if we don't go forward, then, you know, we need to do that. I think we should just all hang on this. Like I said, if anybody does a way to gather any more information or to check the grass, you know, send it back. Yeah, it was pretty comprehensive.
So there's a lot of links to studies and all that stuff. So we'll be helping share that amongst the
Well, and I'm assuming that same issues were raised when Oak Park did this. I'd be interested to hear from What were the appropriate people at Oak Park? I would have found out how they.
All right. So, and then the one other thing I wanted to add that I'll look into is I know the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus was applying for a federal grant and looking into replacing some way to fund replacing landscape equipment, Gaspard landscape equipment with electric. So I don't know if they were successful in that, but I will look further into that and then have that as part of the update for next month.
Thanks for adding the cost of that. Would be a really good way to go forward and say, this is way of the future and this is an opportunity to acquire the skill of
Yes. Meeting minutes. Did anybody have any edits to these?
Type topic 6 LRS mail.
Oh. Yeah. After a while, my eyes just go cross-eyed for typing this. All right. Can I get a motion to adopt the meeting minutes? Co-Chair Simon?
Yes.
Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Mazzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Beese?
Yes.
5-0 minutes are adopted. Moving on to the next item. So I put together some information for the electric aggregation program, looking at a 2-year extension, same conditions as the most recent extension from right before I started in 2022. So looking to bring this to the board next Monday, speaking with Matt Walsh, our village administrator, he wanted to just ensure that the Sustainability Commission showed their voice, whether in support or against, I guess, the extension of this. It would allow the village to keep our green power, the EPA, green power status. What was that? I want to.
EPA, green power.
Green power part of our community status. So, yes. Would still be the same comment rate, would still be the same opt out mailer. So, we have little under 3,000, let's say like 2,800 households in the village already enrolled into this. They would receive renewal notices. I don't have the exact number in front of me. It was like 2,889 or 29 or something like that.
How many households?
Looking at the accounts, I think it was about 4,200, I thought was the most recent one.
The whole village.
There was about 1,500, so it was nearly double were on than were not on. And then there were 100 identified new accounts to potentially be added this next round.
Which is way more than it was.
Yes.
Wasn't it like 40%
I believe the first round, this was before my time, but looking back, it said they would try to identify like a fifth of the village or something like that for enrollment. When this first started, the renewable energy credits were way higher and there was a civic contribution because the cost of energy was so much lower than what the comment rate was. Now the comment rate and the cost are roughly in line, so we just get the sort of bare bones recs and no civic contribution, but it still is something I would say. And I would add at no cost beyond the standard comment rate. So that's.
Yes.
Go.
On the web page, whatever that this says, if there's $0 cost that increase, did they have a surprising number of people that opted out?
Yeah, I think there is a general skepticism from people who they see these notes from ComEd, they think they got tricked into some retail energy thing that's going to jack up their costs. I get a lot of calls on this when these mailers go out. I would say 3 out of every 4 people are just like, just making sure, just checking in on this, you know, just doing their due diligence. And when I explain it to them, they're okay. There are some people who are dead set against it, dead set on it being an opt-out provision, which the village did vote on as a referendum to create this. I believe back in 2012 is when this, the ordinance passed, giving the village board this authority to do the opt-out aggregation program. But yeah, I try to get information up on social media. We've got a webpage on that I update every time I know mailers are going out, and really try to, yeah, hammer those points. You know, I think the instant reaction of people is to, of a lot of people is to just, yeah, figure out what was going on. And, you know, a lot of them say they got the notice from ComEd and say that maybe part of an aggregation program, just check on that. And once I explain, yes, it's no cost to you, same rate, it's just a greener source of energy, they're fine with it. Well, 3 out of every 4 people, as I said, that's very rough math. But yeah, yeah, I do plan on another round of posting information through website, social media, newsletters to make residents aware.
Yeah, good idea. That's a lot of work. Initially,
it
didn't get it wrong. What?
It's, yeah, changing energy rates. So actually, they were unsure if they would be able to continue this program. They had to wait until the new ICC rates were established for ComEd in May, I believe. And then assessing it, MC Squared was able to determine they would be able to continue for another 24 months with that rate, with this same rec level as the previous 24 months. So,
are there comments on this? Questions? Thoughts?
I was dumps. Okay, so. So all electricity suppliers in Illinois are purchasing from the same pool. So, you know, they're all subject to the same cost. So the way the aggregation program is able to provide these RECs is they are selecting answers. So they go through account by account, and they see who consistently purchases during the hours of the day and just is the most expensive, and they're able to. ComEd is not able to do that because ComEd has to provide electricity. So I guess I'm concerned with some of the adverse effects from this program. So I hope this applies to ComEd. Eric and I had a conversation in the data that ComEd has a according to Illinois RPS, I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. It says it specifies electric utilities and suppliers get a certain percentage of electricity from renewable sources. So supposedly by 2025, which is just next year, it's supposed to be 25% of overall electric sales are coming from renewable energy, and ComEd is far from this. And I just feel like this program, particularly if two-thirds of our accounts are on this, and they're leaving the, you know, the ones that are highest cost for ComEd, that we're not helping, we're responsible for, but we are not helping them get towards this renewable energy by sticking that with all of the most expensive, you know, consumers that consume at the most highest every day. And I also feel like NC Squared and what was behind that just sort of slipped in a fast one to go from a program where they were paying us $36,000 per year, servicing about a third of the accounts, to doubling that to 60%, and then sorry, we don't have any extra money to provide for those. So I just wonder how the people got to this point.
I think that's your point in our ComEd overall supplies, they all adding all the other pretty sophisticated, large
operation that's funded well by all of us that are paying the rates, you know, they're certainly not out.
The supply, because they're killing us off supply.
Yeah. So
or distribution.
Yeah. So I think that is probably a bringing attention to a good kind of macro problem of this, where there's maybe a kind of opportunity that NC Square is taking advantage of. But I think kind of in our situation, I guess I would still view the transition being a large majority to, like, ultimately there's going to be more rents applied to our community and to Illinois that if we didn't do this, I think the way I'm thinking of it, maybe I'm not kind of thinking of everything, but it would seem to still be kind of largely beneficial, but I think it's also worth considering what you're saying, the larger impact of the downstream impacts of, like, what's left, but it would seem to me there's still so much work to be done broadly that I wouldn't be too concerned with sort of people in communities is like a fraction of some individual large kind of companies and industrial uses that are kind of here too. So
I agree. It's no different than the discussion we just had. As we are starting with
I think one of the reasons that the costs went up is that the cost of RECs are increasing a lot, and that's because a lot of corporations are, you know, using a similar technique to present a, you know, green face to the world. So, you know, I feel like it's a different environment than when we first signed this contract 4 years ago, that there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of corporations out there, and there's a lot of demand, and just being part of the market that's driving up the cost of these rents is not the same. Renewable energy, and I guess I didn't say my first set of comments, but I also thought that if we were to sort of go a little bit more full throttle on community solar, then maybe we have a little bit of a cleaner, you know, discussion if we don't have to be distinguishing between the aggregation and the, which has always created a lot of confusion. So I just wonder, like, A, how much good we're doing. It's true it's not costing more, but could a lot of time, effort, marketing be better used? You know, I feel like we'd be solar is considerably better than this, and you know, sort of building onto the recent contract that the other signed and the that's a really interesting.
I'm not completely.
And just two things, just want to clear for it. So you can be on the aggregation program and have a community solar account. They are not, yeah.
Well, I didn't ask you. Yeah, I didn't ask you. Yeah, I'm on board.
Yes, I am too, because I get knocked out, so.
And then with the community solar program, residentially, you know, we had a low triple-digit number of initial signups for that. Double-digit number of households in this village have actually fully completed and on the community solar program. So yeah, there is a lot more work to be done there. But again, just wanted to note the two are not mutually exclusive. So I think there are ways to, you know, like I said, raise awareness of what these notices are going to be for residents, but also promote the separate community solar program. And if residents wish to opt out of this, maybe raise things like the ComEd hourly pricing, to, you know, it's another sort of more energy efficient program as well, and just this sort of all of the above approach. Because I did have, I know, one instance where a resident had missed the opt-out window and they were on the hourly pricing. So it was one of the rare instances where it actually did cost a resident more because they were sort of working the system, so to speak, with the hourly pricing to be as efficient and as low cost as they could. But I think, yeah, these are all, you know, not mutually exclusive things of the hourly pricing and aggregation, but we can sort of raise them all as options for people, whether they choose to not opt out of the aggregation program, whether they choose to sign up for community solar, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I just went through getting my HOA board, which I'm now president of, as of last week. Where's my scepter? The board meeting we had, the only purpose of that was to confirm who the officers were going to be. And then we're supposed to adjourn. And I said, and another thing, and I brought up the community solar, so we're pursuing that. In the process of doing that, it should be a simple concept to understand, but I think that people are suspicious of something that looks too good. That's my conclusion that I came to from talking to other people that I've tried to get to do it in their own personal situations, and then trying to get my board to understand that. I did learn something interesting from Chuck Sutton, though, the president of MC Squared, who I spoke to the other day about our program at my from my condo board, but he said, you know, you can sign up for more than one program too, more than one community solar program. I never thought of that, but I want to do that.
Okay. So when they redo this, do they go back 100% so if a resident half that out?
So they will send renewal notices to all of those currently enrolled in the program. They will send, there are 100 new accounts that they've identified for enrollment, so people who hadn't previously opted out, that they're also going to send the initial opt-out notices to. Anybody who's previously opted out will not be sent it again. They can go on through the website and sign up if they wanted to at any time. There is a link to do that, but you know, usually those who have opted out, I would say, have fairly strong opinions on the program, and for them to get another notice probably result in some angry phone calls.
Do I think it just increases the problem for all distrust and all information? It's not having that. Just, well, as I just transfer my mom out of some hereditary third party.
My mother in law was in the corporate program. That was good for the first year, and then she probably third more than just stock or presence. You were going to go with most of their bills.
Well, I had an interesting situation with one of my board members who said, we need to go with MC Squared. We started off looking at Nextam because they pay a higher discount. And she said, well, you know, you won't get a separate bill. And I said, I'm sorry, but you will. I'm not getting a separate bill. So I asked her if I could look at her electric bill. She thinks she signed up, and she's not. So it really It gets messy.
So, on the memo, I have the motion. If somebody can make that motion.
I'm actually going forward with the memo. The proper motion.
Yes, recommended the Village Board approve an ordinance extending the term of the Master Power Supply Agreement with MC Squared Energy Services LLC for an additional 24 months.
Yes, that's part of the
I second.
Go to Simon.
We're voting yes or no, that's right.
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Shred?
Yes.
Well, you can vote no.
You can put out your point. Super bad.
That's fine. I'll vote no.
Commissioner Lennon? Commissioner Mazzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Beasy?
Yes.
4-1, the board has recommended. That was my first no vote since I've started staff in the commission.
I think it's so great because everything Susan said was spot on. It's the board vote of like, do we work with the efficiency of the program or do we not, right? It's fair. By the way, like, I think this puts us on notice on the 24 month term that we have 24 months to get this people to be on solar or like solar on top of the roof. So, the clock starts again and we work.
All right. Quickly moving on to the next item. I had briefly touched base on this last month under public comment period. So, I had applied for a grant last November. Through the Morton Arboretum for U.S. Department of Agriculture Urban and Community Forestry Grant Program. Initially, we were not selected as a village, and then there was apparently some extra money available, so we're getting a few thousand bucks to help with our emerald ash borer treatment this year. One of the conditions of this is that we need to update our tree ordinance based on their recommendations. I had included a big table of all the things they wanted included, what we already met, what we need to clarify, what we needed to add. And then the draft ordinance, this had gone through a couple back and forths with Morton. They had provided a lot of technical assistance in what we needed to include. They've reviewed it a couple times now. They're good with this most recent draft. The one feedback I've gotten so far since they're hearing this, Gary had made just a stylistic point of because we defined director, to make sure that is consistent throughout the entire chapter of the ordinance, which I don't have to share with you all, but I updated it today to share that and added the whereas clauses, which are basically summarized in this memo. Wanted any of your all input. We'll not be able to amend anything with this because it has gone through a few things, but just sort of an up or down vote again, request of the village administrator to show level of support to the village board when this goes to them. Brian Skozik, our superintendent of operations, is a licensed arborist or certified arborist. We have a couple of other certified arborists, three other now certified arborists on our public works crew. So he is really gung-ho about trees, very knowledgeable about everything tree related. So he was able to work with me and sort of shape some of this. So he, myself, and our new public works director, Jack Bielek, have all sort of worked on our first internal draft that we sent back. They sent back some feedback to us. I made some edits, had them review, sent it back. And that was sort of the internal process of the back and forth with Morton Arboretum, getting this draft drafted.
I did spot a typo.
Where is that? Yes.
5-H-11 definitions. Definitions.
Well,
we were just
Yep, I will. So there was, in the midst of this, already a definition section added with a small to define commemorative ribbons that was done last November, and it just had not, for some reason, been codified yet. But yeah, I will make sure that is correct, which I believe it already is in the existing village code. But thank you for that.
I recommend the village board adopt the ordinance updating the Jewish and Shows chapter.
It was, I mean, it was not a huge grant. It was around $8,000 or something like that. So not big, but covers most of the cost of procuring the treatment injections, and then it can actually cover some of our man hour costs for our arborists who will be going around doing these injections starting this week, actually. So, no, it's less than 300 at this point. So, yeah, it's not something they're planting new. So it's just
the vaccinations that go into the trees.
Yes, for lack of a better term, that is correct.
I paid for this out of my own pocket. For a Dutch elm that was on our park district, on the parkway, at our own park.
Sorry, Emerald Ash Borer is what this one is for. Dutch elm, we have not been able to treat the past few years just because of the cost of that is, we have more elm trees and the cost of that is higher. But yeah, these are ash trees. There's about 270, but yeah, I think there's still, there's less than 500 elms left as well. So again, that population has gone down as well, but yeah. Yeah, there is some Dutch elm treatment specifically in the ordinance. This is regarding emerald ash borer tree this year, which we treat every other year. The goal is to hopefully be able to do Dutch elm on alternating years with the emerald ash borer tree.
What about the anti-gas trees?
But yes, we do have a motion and a second. So I will take the roll. Co-chair Simon?
Yes.
Co-chair Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon? I almost appointed you the co-chair. Commissioner Mazzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes. The most voting things we've ever had.
Yeah, I had to add an extra column in line this week. Compost, yes. So this, I had reached out to Oak Park after our discussion last week, had not gotten any response. But looking at their website, it looks like there's just a very simple thing where we would basically need to create it on the back end where we can split the cost equally between two households or whatever cart one of the households has. Both would need to sign off an approval of it or acknowledge it. If one of the individuals were to move, the other would need to be notified that they were then taking on the full cost. And so the plan is to work with our finance staff and potentially with LRS as needed to build this out on the back end. Once we get it up and running, bring it to the board at that point and just sort of begin the marketing blitz on this program, on the compost drop-off center here, and on resources for backyard composting. So following our discussion last month. So because this was something requested by the board publicly during the April 29th board meeting, I did want to get a vote from you all, the village, to begin moving forward on this, just so there's something on the record. But yeah, all of your thoughts on this one. Yeah, it would be mostly done on our end as a village billing side. You know, LRS has the addresses that the carts are delivered to. We would need to make note with them that, you know, this cart is shared between these two households. Really, we bill and then LRS bills us and just sort of, we're sort of the pass-through entity. So they're still billing the same amount, and there's the same amount of total compost bins out there. It's just once it gets to us, how that cost splits between the two households. Yes.
Well, hopefully it would increase them. Increase the number of...
Yeah, that is the hope.
Because it would be a normal...
Yeah, and presumably to households, if they don't have a lot of yard waste, if they mostly just want food scraps, two households could do a 35-gallon carton, split it. If there's some people who have, you know, a moderate amount of yard waste between two households, but they don't want to get the 65-gallon, they could both split a 95-gallon and use a little bit less than that. So there's several options available because we have the three cart sizes and then now a potential splitting option.
So essentially, we have six carts. But, you know, and I think one of the, we talked about this topic, but I think one of the really good parts of our news is that people will find out and what they're sharing, so we'll give some more accurate picture. So, maybe this was an embedded one, except I imagine like some kind of email would go out to the current users.
Yeah, so I have a full list, Dave. You all, so many of you all are on this composting program, so you get the emails from me anyway in the spring for the sign up for the finished compost. Use that same list, notify. They could then, you know, we would need to do some updating on the village website forms for signing up for compost to add an additional question indicating, do you share? Once we get both households sort of matched up with that, then we could apply the new cost.
I would just also comment that this is a good time of year to do it because I believe the price just went up by 3%.
That is correct. Yeah.
1 year away. Every year.
Yeah, every goes up 3% every May 1st. And then last year there was a request from the board to keep it flat for a year. We didn't, so now we're sort of 3%, I believe, behind the contract program. So the village is eating that cost, so to speak, unless they did the full bump to what the contract price was, which I don't know off the top of my head. But yeah, there have been several steps taken by the village to keep costs low and affordable, and this is an additional one for those who seek to enter curbside composting at a lower cost price point.
What's the mechanism for somebody to sign up for a shared? If they have both parties come and say, yeah, we agree.
Yeah.
Is it one move?
So, yeah. So we've got a running list. Somebody submits the form through the website. It goes to Megan, her name. She's one of the women who works the front desk here. She inputs it and, you know, makes note on our sort of back-end billing side and notifies LRS to get a cart delivered out at the next, start of the next month next, so it's on the next month's billing cycle. So we would need to add additional questions of, you know, are you sharing with another household? What is that address? And then we would need to ensure that both of those match up. If one of those residents were to move, then we would notify the other resident via email that this change is happening at this date if they wish to find somebody else to share with, or they will be assuming the, or cancel their composting, or they would be assuming the full cost of the cart. They could again find somebody else, they could cancel, they could switch to a smaller size. So yeah.
Folks said that they didn't use it all.
Yeah. I think the initial discussion of this was the universal opt-out composting. I think when this commission had suggested this as an alternative, there was a sigh of relief among some of our finance staff. we've talked about it just very informally, but have discussed ways to sort of build this out in the back end. I was talking about this even this morning with our assistant finance director, so.
I'm sure this would occur to you that they wouldn't have household thinking which households the vehicle is going to be located.
Yes, that would also be required. And if somebody who's an existing household wishes to add a shared household, it would presumably stay at the current household where it's at.
I'm also considering that we're hoping that this would encourage
Going back to something you said earlier, I'll make sure I'm not confused. Do we, there's a renewal process each year?
It's just a month to month thing. There's no set annual renewal process. May 1st, there is the fiscal year cost increase. And so that happens with garbage rate, with the compost rate, a whole host of other items.
It's not like somebody has to re-up.
They can. So usually we just try and any changes, we align it with the next month. So if somebody, I get some that, over the winter, I've been using the 35 gallon, but now I need a lot of yard work. Can I switch to the 95 gallon? Okay, we'll get it out to you. Or I don't need 65. Can I drop down to 35? Okay, we'll get out to you. And then the next month is when that changes. So it's usually delivered by LRS last few days of the month, the last week of the month. And then the new billing starts that next week.
One is that the way that I would present this is that we are working towards an opt-out program and that we just felt that this was an important step along the way. Not that we're rejecting on that, but that this is an attempt on our part to get more, to number one, get a more accurate idea of the number of people who are currently. Number two, don't pay service to additional people by reducing cost. And then after this is all in place, the next step would be to do some kind of a more village-wide survey to also get the people who are doing backyard composting. But I mean, I would say, yeah, we don't want to do opt-out composting. I would say more than this is what we feel is the next stage for towards the opt-out. Because I think if we can get closer to a 50% participation rate, we have a much stronger argument than to say, a quarter of the village is choosing to be on this market. And another thing I've heard to me with is that all of the schools also have composting bins. And during the parts of the year where there's sort of the heaviest, at least in terms of saving requirements, I'm just wondering if we could reach an agreement with them to include them in, because that would increase, from the under 3 months there, it would increase it from 1 site to 4 sites and bring it much closer.
That is a great point. I would need to reach out to the schools, and obviously there would need to be a sort of formal agreement put in place. Something to look into.
I guess you could as you advertise it, there might be people who continue to put things in there during the year, but again, the majority is during the summer.
I just requested a vote just so there's something on the record for when I do ultimately bring this back to the village board. This is not planned for this coming Monday's meeting, but just wanted to have something on the record, and then we'll start to build it out from the village. Yes, please.
Just got it right here.
Yep.
Okay, so before you say, can we
there,
because we incorporate into this our intention to get us closer to, instead of having a standalone, to say, in order to increase participation in village composting program, we just recommend cost splitting to get us closer to 50%, which would be at 40%, but to increase participation to push village support in the near future.
Yep. Yeah, so specifically make sure it is noted to increase participation in the village composting program.
In order to gain support.
Yeah,
because one of the reasons I want to be so careful is that this did come down for a lot of the village trustee. Yeah, so.
Well, in that case, I make a motion with Susan's amendment to the language to recommend the village implement a program to allow for two households to split the cost of one compost.
The goal of increasing participation in the village compost program in order to gain support for eventual opt-out compost.
What did he say?
Nice. That's definitely.
Co-Chair Simon?
Yes.
Co-Chair Shred?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
I'll say no. Was nothing. It'd be done within their own confines. You're still driving trucks around and stuff. So yeah, it's, you're still in your pain still. So I don't disagree with the notion of moving forward at all. The whole goal should be to try and encourage less and try and encourage within your own residence. That should be the idea, not that, not the
title. But just to clarify, are you voting no to cost splitting?
I'm to the other piece of the verbiage, but it's
Commissioner Mazzatesta and Commissioner Beasy.
Yes.
No votes in one.
Four and one. So just, I have had several other items here on the agenda. Obviously, we are already at 8:30. So climate action review, still want to do this. This is something, you know, the board to discuss. So I think hopefully we can not have as packed of an agenda following next month's leaf blower discussion, knock on wood. And we can dedicate some further time to discussing that and some of the items in those reports. I know, Susan, you had recommended potentially adopting one of the two. So yeah, the other option, I guess, just is if you all have thoughts on, you know, I think, Gary, you had discussed this last time of what ones the village is already sort of doing or has implemented, what ones are sort of those quick wins. And then I think the discussion sort of morphed from there into what can the village do internally in its own practices with regards to a lot of these recommendations, sort of focusing inward on village operations beyond assessing what's been completed and what can be quickly implemented or completed. So we'll dedicate time next month for that.
And just a little more than subtle point, the decision-making process with the
people. Yes.
Certainly you have a criteria you go through whenever you're looking to buy a state. Some criteria is, yes, we're going to buy this one versus that one. So it's really nice. How do you get this built into all of the decisions? So it becomes part of a decision process, and not just a, oh, by the way, if the payback on this one is 2.5 years, and that, you know, it needs a lesson weight to it. And that's really the question I'm asking, because that's how the decisions are made every single day. So that
sounds good. That is duly noted.
I just want to put in a request because we've had our 2 months of very packed agenda, which is, I think we need to get to this, so we have to put a high enough priority on the request from the, like, you know, we need to be sure to ask either against.
Yeah, there were just, I think next meeting, obviously, where there will be continued leaf blower discussion, and then this will be the next item. Knock on wood, don't anticipate anything until the next meeting. I'm really hoping, especially after this month, that we don't have as busy of an agenda next month. But yeah, so that's, we'll make this a priority next month. I don't know if any of you had commissioner working group updates. Two items I just wanted to touch base on. With regards to communications, Luis has been awesome. We've queued up a few things for the next month. So through next month's meeting, this Friday, National Refill Day newsletter will be going. Next week, another Louis submission on efficient laundry will be going. After that, we're reusing green block parties. It is block party season. The permits are starting to come in. So just a reminder for individuals for that. For the monthly, I'm using a weekly, just expanding on the weekly we used last year on plastic-free July, just to share informational resources to residents on that. And then Luis had also shared one on pollinators that will run the following week after that.
So when's the next time you need something?
Not until after the next meeting. So obviously, if you have any specific days like refill day that you've identified, feel free to send them my way. But yeah, I think we should be all set for everything communication-wise through the next month. And then just one quick item that came in yesterday. An individual from Concordia had reached out. They are starting to build a pollinator garden on campus. They were asking about information regarding composting. So I was able to actually, they were also able to connect with the Illinois Food Scrap and Compost Coalition, and they're hopefully getting some resources. But I told them to keep me and keep this commission up to date on any ways we can sort of share resources or promote what they're building on campus.
Could you share that with our commissioner Morris and Concordia?
Yes, I will.
And I just wanted to say just one quick thing. So this came up with the plan of research staying and sharing that they are just starting to charge 25 cents per kilowatt hour to be charging station that currently has a speed. She did mention that while they don't have a fee right now, most of them are in parking garages, but you know, people are able to go in there park for 10 hours in that case, so they're starting to do that. And they're also adding, this is an in three new stations, so they will soon have 46 total. So we should get on it.
Yes. Yeah, it should last. I had applied for a grant through the Clean Energy Jobs Act to hopefully install what would be 18 additional ports total. So
where are we putting them?
These would be village-owned lots. So North Avenue next to the CVS or Walgreens is right off of Thatcher there. So the ones along the side of the townhomes or condos are a village-owned lot. So, and then the Franklin Avenue lot, three-hour parking lot right over here behind this strip. And then those would all be direct current fast charge if we were awarded this grant. And then the rest would go at the West Thatcher commuter lot, and those would be level two chargers. So I, you know, hope, knock on wood, can get a lot of help with that.
Could I just give you a heads up that the Park District, one of their plans, entails moving that parking lot, so just make sure you work in conjunction with them. It's not very expensive.
It's a village-owned lot.
Oh, so, yes. Not the one by them.
No, both of those are village-owned. The two on both sides of Thatcher, right by the metro station.
Yeah. One of your plans is called your moving on those next places. They have to talk to you, but anyways.
Yeah. Talk amongst yourself.
But yeah, hopefully some good news on that. Looking into the further grant opportunities, I know a couple just came over, and then depending on that is whether, you know, will really depend the scope of what we build out with what we've budgeted this year. So
what's the time frame on that?
I believe that one, I think August was the award notification.
And is anything budgeted?
Yes, we have. We still have $50,000 budgeted just generally for electric vehicle infrastructure. Without the make ready electrical work, that could potentially get three or four level two chargers depending on the power of them. Or we would need to have something ready to go for direct current fast charge, because all of those are right around or slightly over 50,000. We could get some level twos and then hopefully get some ComEd credits for any of the, or ComEd rebates for any of the make ready work to prepare.
And do we have to have a discussion about charging? I mean, now that there's more stations, are we going to?
If we're awarded these, yeah, I think there would be further discussion on charging. I don't want to get the cart before the horse. Yes. But yeah, that would be further discussion if we were awarded the grant. Yeah. Does anybody have anything else? Otherwise, we can get a.
This real quick, because this has been noodling around my brain since didn't make a lot of good points. But one of the things that I kind of answered here, but I'm tossing about what to think about it, but it's just part of things I think about doing something along the lines of them to show some of the issues, they'll make it a special status that if you're on our website, these are the ones that operate under this. We'll kind of want to keep it real simple. We don't want to have
the writer
like Souls, go basic, real simple that said these companies offer this. And so you can have other ones on the second page, but they get on the front page, sort of an advertising forum to help with the initiative. So just something to think about.
Yeah, especially if there's existing certifications. So we're rolling out with the electrician license, the ICC certification, particularly for electric vehicle charging station installers. So that's going to be sort of visible and sort of an additional note for those licensed, like electrician's license with the village. So I think something similar to that, I think, is something we could implement.
And I think it's another interesting way of supporting OPAR, because for people that want that, there's going to be plenty of people that do comply with the open OPAR. So
The landscape contractors? Yes. Yeah.
So another option would be to drop the cost for those who qualify as relief. And again, they're favoring and I mean probably not a huge amount of money. It's one way of ensure some of their costs, but it's at least it's helping them out. And
so it's $125 for the annual fee. The individuals who are the one discount, so everything is like general contractors, you have to have a separate license for every specific type of work you do. The one thing we do have a combined license for, it's $187.50 for landscape / snow. So if you just do one of the two, it's $125. For both combined, it's $187.50. And then a lot of them do pesticide as well, so that's a separate $125.
Maybe we can incorporate them. They may even have other incentives too, like pulling money to pay for that.
The whole idea of incentives. And then we're working with them.
And again, trying, if you could put our hands together and try to take away the help. It's kind of a caution.
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.
Getting back to Gary's point, is anybody tracking what's coming in on the EV charger as a potential fund of sources to encourage other behavior?
No, that is a good question. Let me.
I think Vicky brought this up when she was talking about the 20 bucks charging, is that the village actually does lose some money because we receive part of the gas tax, don't we, to maintain our roads?
Yes.
And so electric vehicles are avoiding that. That's another.
That's probably going to change.
It's
been discussed.
Something the state is looking at is to potentially how to address the impact of that going forward. Yeah.
Losing the gas tax.
Motion to adjourn.
All right, do we have a second? Commissioner Simon?
Yes.
Commissioner Schrepp?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Mazzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Beasy?
Yes.
5-0, we are adjourned at 8:46.